counselors aren't listening past 3 minutes anyway. So I would get your points out the first three. So, and we'll be very, very firm on stopping people at 3 minutes. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, first of all, thank you for your time, counselors. My name is Quinton McCoy, and I represent a member of our youth of the community who are passionate about our environment. First thing, Bend is known as an outdoor paradise and an Eden of natural resources and opportunities for outside recreation. People from around the nation flock here to visit and to vacation and even to become permanent residents. They're drawn here by the abundance of beauty and outdoor activities. This tight-knit community is diverse in backgrounds, but shares common values of environmental conservation and stewardship. I grew up in this wonderful place, playing in the cold waters of the Deschutes and running through the freshly fallen snow of the Cascades. And climate change could ruin all of this for their future generations. California has already felt the impact of the drought, and the Pacific Northwest could be soon ahead. It is crucial that our generation takes action now to protect our resources and combat climate change. We must protect what defines us and what defines Bend. We must safeguard the environment and act now. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Annie Hawkins, Mary Fee, and Lori Lakin.
Good evening, Mayor Clinton, members of the council. My name is Mary Fee, and I'm a member of the Climate Ordinance Working Group and on the board of the Environmental Center. But tonight I'm here as an individual speaking on behalf of myself and as a member of the Bend community. I've been interested and involved in sustainable living issues for decades. I'm passionate about clean water, clean air, and our healthy natural environment. Years ago, it became apparent to me that all the causes I was passionate about and interested in was for naught if we didn't deal with climate change. And it needed to be addressed in a meaningful way. It was also apparent that climate change would affect the viability of all living things, and the overlying issue had to be addressed. Today, I'm heartened by the actions of individuals and communities that are taking and are becoming carbon neutral, reducing fossil fuel use, and adopting sustainable agricultural practices. Just this morning, NASA reported that 2016 is on track to be the hottest year ever. As a community, we want and we need conservation and efficiency. We all must do our part and make a difference. And I just wanted to add here, it was mentioned earlier that the homes built since 2006 are very efficient. My home was built 3 years ago, and I spent $6,000 through Energy Savers making it efficient. So I would just like to add that. I'm very hopeful for the first time in years that adopting new strategies, new ways of living, new ways of thinking can and will save our planet, Earth. I'm inspired by the youth in this community and this nation who are demanding we adopt a sustainable lifestyle. The climate ordinance is the first step. Our community is ready to do this and supports your efforts. It is time to take a strong position, lead our city and our community. The economic costs and the social costs are far too great to continue passing these decisions on to the next elected officials or the next generation, for then it will be too late. The time is now. I know we can do this. I know Ben can do this. Let's all be an inspiration to each other, and I appreciate the opportunity to be heard. Thank you.
Lori, then John Anderson.
Hi, my name is Lori Lakin, and this week I had the opportunity to talk at length with the city office managers from Corvallis and Eugene about the cost-benefit analysis for their climate action plans. And I was really very encouraged by what they had to say. It's good news for us because they spent considerable time in terms of staff hours and also outside consulting firms in order to establish very robust climate action plans. There's no need for us to reinvent the wheel. They're very willing to help us out and give us guidance. right now in Eugene. Their climate action plan has been in place for several years now, with hundreds of different measures that they've been able to get community consensus on. That's a big part of the guidance that they could provide us with. That was a really key to the success of their plan. At first, of course, they were concerned about the cost of a climate action plan, and McKenzie and Company came out with a study that showed they would actually save money under a climate action plan after 20 years. Well, in fact, their experience has been far better. Right now, out of the 100 different action items that they have, half of them have already started to save them money and even put money in their pocket. And a big part of that is because they're able now, as a climate city, to take advantage of what Energy Trust of Oregon has to offer. Right now, we're all paying into Energy Trust of Oregon with our utility bills. And that money has been held so that people can get guidance in reducing their utility bills. And that's residences as well as businesses. So if we were to sign on as a climate action city, we could take advantage of those resources. In terms of the rest of their action measures, right now they deem that they're going to be able to start saving on them in 9 years. So there's really no reason for us not to go forward. In fact, the cost of not going forward in terms of what we're going to have to pay, you know, through degradation of resources, through loss of agricultural production, through loss of recreational opportunities, the list goes on, and the effects on our health, it just doesn't weigh out. There's just no reason not to go forward with this climate action plan. In addition to that, there's all the benefits of what will happen if we do go forward with it. You know, as being a model climate city, we'll have businesses that flock to us. This is not going to deny businesses from coming into Bend. It's going to improve the quality of our air, the quality of our water, improve our water supply, and also bring jobs into the area. So once again, I said the cities of Corvallis and Eugene are very supportive of our efforts. I'm sure other model cities are as well. I would encourage you particularly to talk to Matt McCray, who is the climate analyst at Eugene, because he's more than willing to help us out.
Thank you.
John Anderson, then I think Hans von Niedersen, or something like that.
Thank you for listening to the member of the community.
Hans von Niedersen, next.
I'm a retired scientist. I've been living in Bend since 1993. As a scientist, we are aware from all the articles in the scientific journals for the last 20 years that global warming has been having significant impacts on all sorts of animals in various kinds of ecosystems. What it hasn't had is a serious effect yet on humans. And we have an opportunity at this time to do something about it, to slow down this rate of global warming. We're talking about climate change, it's warming. The planet is getting warmer. That's the climate change we're talking about. So I would just keep it brief. As a scientist, I would urge the members of the council to do something fast, get moving with some sort of action. And I've heard a lot of speakers today. I belong to all the conservation groups, environmental groups that have already spoken, so I don't need to reiterate what they've already said. But I would urge you as a citizen of Bend to do something as fast as you can. Set up a committee. Don't be worried about cost-benefit analysis until you know what you're dealing with. Let a committee of experts help you out on that. You got a university here, you got a community college here, you have a huge base of retired scientists in the community that can help on your committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Hans, then Eric Fernandez.
Ben Arson, thank you. I wear two hats, I'll still take 3 minutes. I am the political chair of the local Sierra Club, the Juniper Group. We have over 2,000 members and supporters who live very close by to here. They are all very, very supportive of the city taking the lead in doing the climate action that we've heard about and talked about before. Sierra Club, I'm not sure if you know, it has 2.4 million members in the United States. It started south of us in California with almost nothing. It's the largest and biggest environmental group, and they're absolutely behind everything that we're talking about and doing. As an individual, my background is I was a partner and executive as a management consultant. I helped companies and I helped governments change their processes, their culture, their effectiveness worldwide in all sorts of countries. What was key, and my message to you, is leadership. If the city takes a leadership, and that's more than just doing, that's speaking, that's promoting, that's pushing, that's being thought leaders over and over and over again, that's what makes change successful. Those organizations that didn't do it, where they had a tepid person on the top, a person who was so-so about change, they couldn't do it. The organizations that recognized that change was necessary and prepared for that became successful. The organizations that didn't, that stayed in the Iron Age, that didn't use computers, etc., flunked. So I give you two sides of the course. I hope that as an individual, if you have individuals on your committees, I'll be happy to serve. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Eric Fernandez and Robert Holmes.
I'm Eric Fernandez. I'm with Oregon Wild and here to speak on behalf of our 15,000 members and supporters. I appreciate you having this democratic process to take feedback. This is good government, so thank you for your efforts. I'm sure it's after a long day for you already, so kudos to you for good government. Our members and supporters support concrete steps and actions at the local level. We're less supportive of vague plans and kind words. Real action, I think, is what our members would like to see as we move forward in this process. I think my main point here is, as a Central Oregonian, we have a lot at stake here. Our lifestyles, in particular, you know, looking at the impacts of global warming, we don't have the same snowpack we have historically had, and that's going to get worse with time. What are the impacts to that? They range from not having the same wintertime recreational adventures that we all love. This means we don't get to have green lawns in the summertime. These are pretty serious impacts. As a conservation group, I should probably be talking about wildlife. It also makes me very grumpy that I wouldn't get powder days that I've grown accustomed to getting. That's a problem. I'm also struck by some of the conversations earlier and the questions about the impacts of taking these steps. Well, what are the impacts of not taking these steps? If we don't have a snowpack and a Mount Bachelor that really helps as a driver of the economy in Central Oregon, I'm pretty sure that's going to be bad for the real estate economy. I'm not an economist, but I carried the two, and I think we've got it. I think science is showing the consequences of global warming are getting here faster than anticipated, and so, you know, this is not a time to delay too long. As others mentioned earlier, we want to have a thoughtful process, but we don't want to delay. I think there are a couple pieces that have also been mentioned. It seems like the elephant in the room here is if this only addresses city and municipal government, that's really going to be missing the mark. So having this be a community-wide goal, I think, is really key. A firm deadline and really accounting for the environmental impacts is also important. Simply put, I think as Bendites, we have a responsibility to ourselves and to future generations. I'm inspired by some of the future generations that are speaking up at an age when I would have been terrified to speak up. So good for them. I think we can set ourselves on a better path here. This is not a time for baby steps, it's a time for bold action. And I think if we want to, I don't think we want to risk our quality of life and our lifestyle here in Central Oregon. Let's make sure Bend is a part of the solution and not the problem moving forward. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Robert Holm and Kim Smith.
My name is Robert Holm. I'm living in the Mountain View neighborhood. My life started here in Bend in 1959. Went away for a while, returned in 2009. As we all know, Bend is a beautiful place to live, but in many ways, it's not improving with time. I love Bend, I love the people of Bend. My words are not really my own today, and so I'm not passing judgment because they're not my words. But I love the people of Bend, which is evidenced by my involvement daily in our community. I'd like to consider what the real cause is of climate change and specifically global warming. There was a prediction, a prophecy, given nearly 2,000 years ago, and it is this. This is a quote. The angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. God is trying to get our attention. At the beginning, God cursed the ground because of our wrongdoing, according to the Torah, Genesis chapter 3. In the middle, God died on the cross for all of our wrongdoing and rose again from the dead. And at the end, God is going to burn up the planet because of our wrongdoing. This is a quote from the book of Revelation. Men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. The elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works therein shall be burned up. But I'm thankful that though God is passing his judgment on us, God can create a new planet. Here's a quote from the book of 2 Peter in the Bible. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So, is global warming our fault? Yes, it is. Because we have a lack of righteousness problem, evidenced by many things that are happening in Bend, even this day, and all around our country and all around the world, more ungodliness and more wickedness. I'm thankful, myself personally, that righteousness is found only in Jesus Christ, because God can not only create a new planet, but he can create a new person. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Today's global warming is in reality a global warning of a future worldwide firestorm. And so I believe, to conclude, what is most important to have in this policy may not be able to be in the policy, because climate change is a sign of God's judgment. But I would like to go on record as being an encouragement and an emphasis.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Kim Smith, then Rick Ray.
Thank you.
Rick Bay, I think.
Good evening. My name is Kim Smith, and I'm the president of the League of Women Voters of Deschutes County. Last year was the hottest year ever recorded in the history of our planet. And according to NASA and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the first 6 months of this year is hotter still and has a 99% chance of being overall hotter than even last year. This is frightening. As a citizen of Bend and a member of the League of Women Voters, I would like to commend and encourage the Bend City Council on adopting a strong resolution or ordinance and plan for action to combat climate change. The League of Women Voters supports the United States ratification of the UN Conference of Paris 21 Agreement and supports the full implementation of the EPA Clean Power Plan as a national first step. We call on those in government to implement updated science-based climate action plans that stabilize global warming by bringing CO2 levels down to no more than 350 parts per million by 2100. The League of Women Voters encourages informed and active participation in government and in order to build better communities. The League of Women Voters thanks you for your proactive and enlightened action on climate change. Thank you.
Thank you. Rick, and then Katie Anderson.
My name is Rick Pay. I'm a property owner in Bend. I'm also past president and board member of Oregon Trout, past president, current board member of the Fly Fishers Club of Oregon, a member of the Western Rivers Conservancy, member of Water Watch of Oregon, member of the Native Fish Society, member of the Deschutes River Alliance. I've been involved in environmental issues for over 35 years in Oregon. But I'm not here to talk about global warming. I'm here to talk about the law of unintended consequences. The problem that I've seen over my 35 years is that many times well-intentioned initiatives like this end up doing more damage than they do help. Let me give you a couple of examples. Simple ones are control burns that become uncontrolled. Other ones include the removal of the dams on the Klamath River that have actually degraded water quality downstream and actually hurt the fish runs that they were designed to help. Another one is the mixing tower in Lake Billy Chinook that Portland General Electric spent $160 million on. There's over 1,200 violations of the Clean Water Act as a result of that tower, and lawsuits are currently pending. Another example is the Obama administration recently going to the Endangered Species Act to ask for a variance for 4,000 birds a year being killed in the wind farms around the country. What I implore on you is to take your time. Make sure that unintended consequences don't occur as a result of this. I would request that you not pass either the resolution or an ordinance until you have a chance to thoroughly vet this. The vetting needs to not only include the economics, but the social and the environmental issues as well. The problem with unintended consequences is that once they occur, they are very, very hard to reverse and many times impossible. Normally, they will end up in lawsuits and with public officials losing their jobs. Thank you.
Thank you. Katie, then Joe Katrusik.
Thank you, Council, for opening this up for a debate. We appreciate the opportunity to get in front of you this evening and provide some comments. I was only provided with two boxes tonight, either agreeing or opposing the resolution, so I had to choose one. And my opposition stems from the perspective of more clarity provided in the resolution. I'm a local business owner here in Central Oregon. I am a member of all of the organizations that were represented in front of you tonight, and we are definitely in favor of our city taking a broader action and a more defined action in climate change. So I don't stand in front of you in opposition of the efforts that you're taking. I stand in front of you in opposition more so that as a business owner and someone that would like to see a greater transparency and a greater accountability of our council, there's some language that we feel is lacking from the resolution. Primarily in relationship to the composition of the steering committee. We have seen in recent 12 months that politics can get involved amongst the council, and it diverts your attention on who comprises those committees and how you interpret their recommendations to you. So we would like a broader language in the resolution as to how the council will comprise that steering committee and commitments from the council that that will represent not only the environmental committee community in town, but also the business community, as well as potentially youth that you see represented here tonight. So we're encouraged that it has changed from an ordinance and a resolution, and I believe you've taken community input, but I think that the council can do a little bit better job in some of those areas. Further, I'd like to mention that there are some areas of the resolution that are vague in nature and can have a greater impact. Such as best available science. It's not defined in the resolution. And I believe that there are very smart individuals in this community that can help get a broader definition in the resolution that gives the council and the community a better understanding of what we can anticipate from the resolution. Also, I think that the council should take into consideration that there is some vague language in there about the cost-benefit analysis. And as everyone here in town and you as council members know, everyone's interpretation of a cost and a benefit are two different things. Is the increase of tourism a benefit or a cost to our community? And how does that impact the climate changes you're trying to take? So if we're going to use this resolution from a perspective of that analysis, I would encourage you to define those terms a little better so that future councils don't find it hard to interpret it what their jobs are. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Joe, then Jennifer Sawyer, I think.
My name is Joe Katrusik. I've lived in Bend. Let's put it this way. I paid property taxes here for over 20 years. I've been in the construction business or the trades my whole life. I've seen the changes from really sturdy homes. There's a concept called the solution to pollution is dilution. So homes were built really badly because the furnaces were really bad. And since then, they've tried to tighten up homes, but it's made our health a little bad. My biggest point is that we as a group, as citizens, I really love living in Bend. I've lived all around the country. I've seen pollution so bad that the sky is brown. And what you see in pollution is only 40%. The rest is invisible. So we have a lot to lose here in Bend, even though we're going to be getting some climate refugees coming here, I'm sure. When I moved here, I did a lot of study, weather temperatures, you know, the charts. I'm going to give you an example. Greenpeace approached the people in Germany to get rid of the CFCs, refrigerators. We don't talk too much about the ozone hole anymore, but they said, let's see how many people would take pre-orders to buy these ammonia-based refrigerators. Now, you go to Europe today, you can't find a regular refrigerator that we have here. They're all ammonia-based. So what we're lacking in America is just that little, what would you call it, 100th monkey, you know, that little bit that flipped this whole thing around, you know. I had a really good friend back in the 70s in Michigan who went to a solar energy school called Jordan. So I went with him one weekend, you know, to hang out with him. And I saw how, you know, this whole campus was run off-grid. Big stones in the basement, you know, full of heat that was gathered all winter long, I mean all summer long, that would radiate out during the colder months. So the technology is there. The concepts are only what's in our head, what more we can do. I had my old home retrofitted through GreenSavers as well. And one of the biggest benefits is to come home to a really comfortable home. When it's 90 degrees outside, I come home, I don't need air conditioning, a couple ceiling fans. I mean, seriously, folks, this is not rocket science. If I can figure it out, I'm just your common Joe construction guy. You know, it's possible. It's really possible.
Thank you. Jennifer, then Chemical Montgomery. Right.
Okay. Good evening. Oh, just kidding. We're ready?
Okay.
Good evening. My name is Jen. My husband Drew and I have a small company called Go Hive Yourself. The easiest way to describe our business is that we are beekeepers. But that description is not accurate. You see, we don't keep bees. The bees keep us. We merely practice the art of working with bees. We are their students. I want to express my concern about our soil this evening. We have a problem, a big one, a fixable problem, but it is going to take all of us. We are destroying our soil. Now, I may not have the complete scientific understanding of how all the things work and their specific names, but I carry a basic understanding, an understanding that I have had since I was a little girl. It is a deep, unexplainable knowledge, a connection, if you will. The way I view our special little blue and green biosphere is that it maintains its vitality through a unique and complex system of filters, checks, and balances via organisms, microorganisms, bacteria, fungi. Our planet's system of filters is slowly choking due to human negligence. Think of it like a car. You have several filters in your car, each one with designated purpose. If you fail to maintain those filters, they will become clogged, and your engine will eventually quit. We are failing to maintain our biosphere system of filters, and our soil is very much a part of that system and needs to be included in climate conversations, in addition to our air, bodies of water, and forests, aka the lungs of our planet. Soil is the skin of our earth, and we destroy the vitality of that skin when we use chemicals as a means of control. Pesticides have a negative influence on every single living organism in this biosphere. When applied, they create a snowball effect that can impact the immune systems of species that benefit from what the soil produces. In smaller organisms, the effect can be almost immediate depending on the amount of exposure. For larger organisms, it can build up over time, the effects showing themselves at a later date. Our pollinators and flora are the first to take the hit, but we have become too noisy to heed their warning. But I hear it loud and clear. And the time is now to start making changes in the way we do horticulture, starting at a residential level all the way to agricultural for all of our species, including humans. What I am requesting of you tonight is to join our company mission and adopt the chemical-free method on all your properties to aid in reinstating the balance of our biosphere. I implore you. The next step is to restore the meadow and replace all areas of low traffic or unused lawns with native plants and wildflowers. Not only does this protect our soil and save water, it will also provide a much needed boost in chemical-free forage areas for all of our life-sustaining pollinators. This city, our city, can be the model for the rest of the nation. Now I know what you are thinking, how do we go about accomplishing this and what will it cost? But my friends, do not fret, I have a plan. One that extends all the way to our deplorable system of agriculture. And I wholeheartedly believe that we can fix this mess we've created. And I have big... Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Shamiko Montgomery. I am a pastor at the First United Methodist Church here in Bend. And on behalf of our faith community, I want to express our support for the Climate Action Resolution. We are a community of 500 that is concerned about the impacts of climate change. I also speak on the behalf of my two children. We moved to Bend 4 years ago. I chose Bend because I want my children to be raised in this community that clearly values caring for one another. But I also want them to be raised in the community that doesn't only look inward at its own benefit, but as a member of the global community. I want them to know that our actions as individuals and as a community has impacts that reverberate far beyond the high desert. I think often about the reverberations of our energy use, as I am not just a Bendite and an American citizen, but a citizen of the Republic of the Marshall Islands. My islands are thin strips of land that lie just 7 feet above the sea level. Family land that has been passed down for generations, I hope to one day pass on to my own children. But scientists tell us Marshallese that if countries like the US, communities like us, do not put serious effort into reducing emissions, our islands are at risk of being underwater within the next two generations. I cannot in good conscience know my city is debating a resolution to reduce emissions and not voice my full support. Impacts of climate change are not just far off possibilities, but serious threats to everyday lives of Marshallese right now. Every year, more and more Marshallese leave our beloved islands to begin a new life in the US. They are scared of the rising sea level that washes away their homes, their farms, and their graves of their loved ones. Right now, they are suffering a severe drought, and they have little access to water as rising tides have flooded many freshwater sources. And if their crops have not died from drought, they are dying from the salt water that floods and contaminates the soil. But here we sit, safe at 3,600 feet, debating whether this resolution is taking too strong of measures too fast. My hope in these conversations is that we be the community that I know we are, a caring group of people that values our environment and our more vulnerable global brothers and sisters as much as we value ourselves. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you, Mayor Clinton, council members. I'm going to make this very, very short. I'm just here to speak in strong favor of Ben taking the bold step of saying we want to be a city that cares and matters. And with all due respect to Ben Economic Development, the businesses that we would drive away by setting some fine aspirational goals are not the businesses that we want in Ben. We want to maintain everything that makes Bend a special place. And I'll make this a little personal. I work passionately for environmental justice because I want to be a grandmother. And I have two amazing children, one who's a neuroscientist, another doesn't matter. Neither of them want to. He's good. He's a pilot. They're smart, caring, amazing young people, and yet they're making the decision to never have children themselves because they have so much concern about the world that they're inheriting. And so I'm driven by that. I really am. We need to take action, all of us as human beings, to create a better world. And I think this is a small but very viable, needs to include the community, not just be the city of Bend. And thank you.
Thank you. Joanne Storm, then Ron Weber. Duet Storm. After Ron is Chuck Hill.
Thank you. My name is Ron Weber, and I want to tell you how much I appreciate how much work you put into this. You're here all the time, and I even see some of you out in the community. I'm going to be very brief. I share the concerns of the majority of the people who've spoken here about our environment, but I want to say that I'm also concerned about what this means, and I really respect and appreciate some of the questions you've asked. In fact, I think one to be asked right away, what's this going to cost? And I don't think anybody ever really got an answer as to what this is going to cost. Maybe they don't know. I don't know. But I heard one of the presenters say a comparable city spent $300 million, but it's okay because they saved $3 billion, and that's a good deal. You know, it's kind of like when somebody says they saved a lot of money by going to a sale. You kind of wonder how that worked out. I come away from this evening a lot more comfortable and confident in you, our leaders, because of the questions that you've asked. And I believe you'll take this very slowly and carefully, even though you've been urged to go fast. I think you'll take it at a proper pace, and I think you'll figure it out. One person here said, well, this is as important as police and fire and the other services. I'm not sure everybody in the city would agree with that, but it is pretty important. And I know you'll treat it as an important thing. And I also know that you know we don't have enough money to do what we have to do. You're borrowing money to fix the roads. You're from the, you know, the reserves or something, another pocket in the budget where it should go. We're not that well off. And so I'm glad you're treating this with real, sincere concern. And I feel better about it having seen you in action. So thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Chuck Hill, and then Lania Miller.
Good evening, councilors, Mayor Clinton. Thank you for making this time available to speak. I've sent you copies of my written testimony by email, and we'll leave a copy for the record. My name is Chuck Hill. I live and work in Bend as an engineer and for an alternative energy company. I'm here to voice opposition to the proposed climate action. I'm opposed to this resolution because it proposes to reduce fossil fuel use and somehow change the climate. This is a bad policy because both goals cannot be achieved at the same time. It's the secondary goals of changing the climate that is divisive and elusive precisely because the supporting science is weak and the politics are in opposition to the scientific method. It is clear that the Earth has been warming in recent history. What is not clear is if humans are having a measurable impact on the climate at the present time, nor can it be shown that humans are the primary or even secondary cause of increasing temperature. The popular anthropogenic global warming AGW hypothesis states that by burning hot fossil fuels, we humans increase the rate that CO2 is added to the atmosphere, which causes a general warming trend. A hypothesis must be falsifiable, meaning that one must question whether there's a way to prove it wrong. In science, we set out to disprove our theories, and when we can't disprove them, only then can we say that this must be explaining something about our observed reality. The scientific method has no part in consensus. A hypothesis is either supported by the data or it isn't. Here are just two unanswered questions. First, the Earth has spent most of the last 450,000 years as an ice ball. We're fortunate to be living in one of the brief warm periods. Why is it that it was warmer during prior interglacial periods than now? Secondly, consider the medieval warm period. The hypothesis does not explain why the medieval warm period was warmer than it is now, nor does it explain why the Roman period, warm period before that, was also warmer than the present. Each of these facts causes the hypothesis to fail. There are more falsifying questions which are well documented in climate science literature. Taken collectively, the hypothesis is so weak that it makes no sense for a small city in Central Oregon to craft public policy that portends to change global climate. The main reason the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has corrupted and politicized the science goes back to their original charter, which states that the purpose of the IPCC is to examine only human factors that could contribute to changes in the climate. The IPCC has squandered millions of dollars to examine one side of a legitimate question and has caused the science community and potentially our community to be torn apart because they promote their hypothesis as settled science when in fact it is far from it. I urge the council to reject the resolution completely. Question its science and its premise. Our city would be best served by focusing your energy and political capital on the essentials of managing a growing community. And I would be glad to serve on the steering committee.
Thank you.
Thank you. Then comes Jason Bradley.
Hi, my name is Linnea Miller. I'm here as a small business owner. I've lived in Bend since 1985. And during that entire time, I have never once been to a city council meeting. I have never once made any sort of statement publicly concerning any issue that city council has taken up. Again, since 1985, I've owned small businesses. I've owned multiple small businesses over that period of time. Once in 1994, we sold three of those due to government regulations, two of which shortly failed thereafter. During all this time, I have been listening tonight, not knowing what to expect, and I have been really, really surprised and concerned to hear about this potential for additional government regulations on small business. I know from someone who has to pay all the bills before I get paid that the cost of government is driving small businesses into bankruptcy often. It is a burden on all of us. I also want to know that the city council has to come up with funding for whatever this thing is going to cost, and no one has an answer as to what the cost expectation is of this. When we have an $80 million deficit in roads, when we have needs for additional police and fire, this is, when I moved in here in 1985, the city population was 20,000. And the roads and the city air in the wintertime often was brown due to wood stoves. Now, with an additional four times the population, air is clean in the summer, or clean in the winter. We don't have wood stoves any longer. Mm-hmm. I would suggest that the number one thing environmental groups could do to take care of fire, to support our forest management, if we could cut back on one or two forest fires every year, that would probably do far more to protect our carbon imprint than anything that we could hope to do through this regulation. And again, I'm concerned about how it's going to impact businesses. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jason Bradley, then Sheila Sloper.
She had to leave.
Hi, my name is Jason Bradley. I'll make this very brief. I've been here since 4:30 with you guys, and it's been a lot to absorb. I'm probably one of your newest residents in Bend. I moved here from Boulder, Colorado a month ago. I drive a zero emissions vehicle. I'm an EV advocate, and I'm here in support of the resolution. I went through it in Boulder. In 2005, Boulder approved the first national cap tax on a utility. So they get a lot of their funding through the utility tax. The county of Boulder also approved a cap tax recently. I know Oregon is not tax friendly when it comes to sales tax, but this may be an avenue that you want to consider funding. I've heard a lot of talk about the cost. What's it going to cost? I would ask, for one, what's it going to cost if we don't act? Two, what are the economic benefits of the adopting the resolution? We're talking about efficiency here, and I will say, I don't know if anyone has actually read a climate action plan from any of the other cities. I encourage you to just read one. I mean, for me, it was really opened up a whole new set of things that I hadn't even considered. Ways that I can be more efficient, save use my resources, and I saw a lot of financial and economic gains through a lot of the federally funded programs, state programs, and energy programs in Boulder. Yeah, I'll leave you with that. I think we've all heard a lot tonight, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Lisa Seals and Russ Donnelly.
Good evening. I'm Dr. Lisa Seals. I'm a researcher and educator of natural resource policy. So this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart. And I want to start by saying thank you all for just taking this up and really seriously looking at this and considering it. It means a lot. I also really want to thank the working group for getting us this far already. I know a ton of work went into looking at what already exists out there to kind of start the process. And I want to thank everybody who's come here to share your opinion, because this is how I think meaningful public policy happens, with discussions just like this. So thank you, everybody. I also wanted to just say that I strongly support meaningful climate action. Meaningful climate action. And we've heard a lot tonight, and I don't want to, you know, hammer down other points or the same points, but I do want to say that uncertainty and unintended consequences, which has come up a couple times tonight, that's part of everything we do every day. We are never going to have 100% complete information, but we still have to act. We have to make the best decisions that we can make today with the information that we have today. If we don't act, we're basically continuing to be part of the problem. So I really, really want to stress that I'm not saying make silly, quick decisions, but I really think that by not acting, we are acting. We're acting, and we're choosing to be part of the problem. I also want to say that I really think it's important that we have goals. And I know I heard some concern with the business community that we're putting the cart before the horse by having goals. And while I understand that perspective, I also have to say that without goals, we don't get anywhere. I recently finished a dissertation, and if I didn't set the goal to actually write a dissertation, it never would have happened. And I had no idea how that was gonna happen, but guess what? I set the goal and I worked on it and I got it done. And I know that we need to have goals. So it's important to not just have the city goal, but also to have a community goal. And I also think it's important that those goals be adaptable, and they are. They're aspirational in nature, and they're adaptable, and having adaptable public policy is very important, and we're hitting the mark with that, but we have to add back in the community piece. I also have to say that we need to have a timeline. There has to be a strong timeline in there, because going back to needing to have goals, we have to have a deadline. I don't know, I mean, I know we all put stuff off on a daily basis and we deal with the stuff that's urgent and needs to be done right away. So it's important that we put in a timeline along with those goals. I also have heard a ton of concern about costs, and I completely understand, and I am right there with everyone when we start to talk about costs. We don't know how much it's supposed to cost or how much it's gonna cost, but that is what this process is designed to do. This resolution is designed to start a process that will help us figure out what it's going to cost. And, okay, all right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Russ Donnelly and Helen Seidler.
Hi, my name is Russ Donnelly. I'm here, two hats, but I'll just primarily speak as to one, but I am the group leader for the Citizens Climate Lobby chapter here in Bend. I'm speaking as a very proud member of the Climate Ordinance Working Group, and I thank you all for having this forum and a chance to speak. I want to speak to, first of all, we've heard a lot about that our 40 and 70% goals for both the city and the community. When we talked to other cities, they said, well, why are you doing 40 and 70? Because all of those cities have done 50 and 80. And I will tell you that we had a long discussion about that. One of the reasons that we decided to settle on 40 and 70, because that was one of our first ideas, that was our primary purpose, is to set up those goals. And we thought maybe we can come down a little bit. You know, if we can go up later, that would be fine. But if we come down, we can more reasonably maybe manage those goals. We can hit those goals, both for the city and the community. So despite the exhortations of other people in other cities, we're here to put those 40 and 70 together. And I wanted to, just in terms of leadership, recently Congressman John Lewis was on another topic in Congress, but he said, let us lead as headlights, not brake lights. And I think if you think about it, it has some significance. We want to be out ahead of others. And that's to the bold choices that some people have already talked about. We simply, as a group, have tried to set the table for a robust discussion. Other than those goals, those percentages, and the timelines, and we've tried to set up those processes that we can find out what the details are. The devils are in the details. That's what this process is about. We all will be held accountable. I was in a group the other night that I was asked to speak to, and the words that came out from neighbors and other people here in Bend were accountability, that this resolution is accountability, sustainability, neighborhoods working together to achieve and move towards those goals, changing behaviors, common sense, being a part of something bigger than ourselves. Those were our own peers' words. In terms of this process, in creating change regarding conservation and increasing city and community efficiencies, there are fundamental principles in community planning which are at the core of what our meaningful climate resolution represents. Identify the problem. We've tried to do that. It seems easy, but you have to put yourself out there to say, here's the problem, here are the goals. Then what we do is develop alternative strategies. That's what the steering committee is about. Analyze the costs and benefits. That's when you get down to the nitty-gritty. That's Councillor Russell's idea of how do the things that Bend has done up to this point factor in. That's because this process sets up an integrating ability to do such a thing. So thank you very much. Let's hope that we're the headlights.
Thank you. Helen, then Owen Mitz.
I'm Helen Seidler. Imagine for a moment that you came home to find your house on fire. Do you run next door and borrow the child's toy water pistol to put it out? Or are you going to call 911 and bring in the fire trucks with their big hoses? My guess is that you would call 911 because the remedy that the fire trucks have is going to match the problem of your burning house. So the point here is that whatever remedy we come up with has got to meet the scope of the problem. And as I think as many have demonstrated, the scope of this problem is large and it's imminent. So the water pistol equivalent really is not adequate, and that would be what you would be doing if you just choose a city operations plan here. But I'm going to assume that you choose the 9/11 plan, and I'd like to make a comment about the goals. Here's an analogy from the world of education that might be helpful. So we know from research and observation that children who do not read by the end of third grade have very low odds of having a healthy, successful, and satisfying life. So educators make that a goal, that every child will learn to read by the end of third grade. Now, they don't say, gosh, we don't know how much this goal will cost or whether we can actually do it. They examine all the variables. They come up with strategies. They get creative about programs. They cost them out. They may ask for more money if they need it. But they have a goal out there that they're trying to meet, and they do the work to get to that goal. I can assure you now that not every child who's finished third grade knows how to read. But by far, most of them do, and that's because there's a goal out there that educators know is important to meet, and they work to do it. So what's the link with climate action planning? Well, we do know, as a global community, as a country, as a state, and as a local area, we know what needs to happen to bring down our greenhouse gas emissions and the problems that that causes with CO2 buildup in the atmosphere. We don't know exactly how we're going to get there, and that's actually our community challenge, to do the research, figure out what the strategies are, cost them out, make our best choices, and then implement them. Not to do that is to be, I think, very ashamed of our collective behavior. So there's an African proverb that says, we make the path by walking it. So I'd like to encourage you and all of us to make this path by walking together. Thank you.
Thank you.
Owen, then Theo Larson.
My name is Owen Mitz. I live just outside of Bend, and I run a business called Lava Edge that serves clients exclusively in Bend. Here is why I believe the City Council should pass a strong climate ordinance that commits the community to developing and implementing a climate action plan. First, city and community action on climate change will attract businesses. Most businesses understand that climate change is real and that energy prices are going to change sooner or later as part of the response to this dangerous situation. Everyone's businesses are going to be affected. But smart businesses will want to be in Bend if they see the community doing what it can do to reduce its contribution to the greenhouse gas emissions that are bringing about climate change. City and community action on this issue will create a more stable business environment. These businesses will appreciate the other benefits that will accrue the quality of life in our town. These include more walkable neighborhoods, healthier air, more local, safe transportation options, higher availability of locally grown food, and protected natural environment for enjoyment and recreation, and a workforce that is seeking these very features, just to name a few. Second, action on climate change will open the door for my business to grow, and I suspect for many others as well, as new business opportunities arise. I sell disposable food service items that are 100% compostable to coffee shops, bakeries, and restaurants that offer to-go options, and I also supply local events and festivals with the cups, plates, bowls, napkins, and cutlery that they need. A move to reduce solid waste going to the landfill and increase the composting of disposable items that are petroleum-free would increase my sales and most likely allow me to create new jobs to handle the new volume of business, all the while having a positive impact on Bend's calculation of its greenhouse gas emissions. I hope you'll keep these two points in mind, attracting small businesses and recognizing the opportunities for growth for existing businesses as you make your final deliberations on the shape and strength of Bend's climate action. And I don't have a African proverb, but please remember that businesses do not have grandchildren.
Thank you. Theo and then Jeff Rolay.
I'm Theo Larson, and I'm the head of my green team at my church as First Presbyterian. I'm also part of the climate group that came up with everything. I would like to say that I believe the task of this community and the ask of this community is to we should keep our vision on the common good. The tragedy of the commons is an economic theory of a situation within a shared resource system where individual users acting independently according to their own self-interests behave contrary to the common good of all the users by depleting that resource. I think we should be aware of when and where this might be the case. And I want to say that this has been an open process, and I'm a little bit tired of hearing conspiracy theories about our group, because I know that we have been true to ourselves and to this community in coming up with the climate process and the climate action we're asking for. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Jeff and Lauren Mork.
Good evening. Thank you for letting me speak tonight, and I appreciate your patience. I stand in support of the development of meaningful city policy to address climate change, because it is good for business, especially my business. Go Bio Company supplies raw material for the production of clean, renewable, Oregon-made biodiesel. Since we began in 2008, Go Bio has supplied the raw material to replace fossil fuel consumption in Oregon by more than 600,000 gallons. We also support more than 200 restaurant participants who supply our company, many of them right here in Bend. Every day we get the luxury of going to work to create a cooler Bend, help other local businesses do the same, and we earn a living at it. And I'm most proud of all those things. That's your triple bottom line. In support of the city action to address climate change, I would also urge the council to hear the advice of two wise women. The first is Mother Nature. In a community so dependent on winter snowpack and summer stream flows to secure its quality of life and economic prosperity, it's important to consider the risk of doing nothing. What would happen when Mount Bachelor's ski season is only as long as Hoodoo's? Or if the new water park on the Deschutes became a skate park instead? Or if we see another Aubrey Hall fire, and this time the wind shifts toward town? The other wisdom comes from Margaret Mead, who said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has." So I only ask that this council change the world. Change the world for the better and adopt a meaningful climate change policy. You know, the cost-benefit analysis is actually a benefit-benefit analysis from my perspective. There's so much innovation out there in addressing climate change issues, in finding efficiencies for business, in saving money in many different ways, both through communities, for private business, through agencies. There's a lot of opportunity to make this a revenue source for you. And since you're in need of revenue, maybe you should look into it. But I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Hi, Lauren, and then David Paulsmeyer.
I'd like to thank City Council for being here tonight, and I'd like to commend you for listening to the community and entertaining this climate ordinance and resolution. I'm here to voice my strong support for the climate ordinance as originally proposed. I would like to ask that you ask yourselves, what are the implications of not taking action now? I know that question has already been asked. The 40% emissions reductions by 2030 and the 70% emissions reductions by 2050 for this community as a whole, for our human community as a whole, are the targets that are required to avoid the worst case economic and environmental scenarios according to the best available science, which is supported by the peer-reviewed process. I just would like to point out that eliminating the community goals from this resolution or ordinance would essentially be addressing 5% of the 40% of those emissions. So if we only address the city of Bend's emissions, we are reducing our impact by taking action to a 2% reduction in emissions for this community. I would say that equates pretty closely to business as usual. Business as usual, according to the IPCC, will lead to environmental and economic consequences that we as a society probably don't want to face. So I feel that the climate ordinance or resolution needs to include action community-wide, needs to meet those modest reductions within the entire community. I heard the business community say that we need to be fiscally responsible, and I agree, we do. We also need to be environmentally responsible, and we need to be socially responsible. And that needs to be reflected in our analysis. I ask that the City Council consider not only the fiscal community in their decision, but the social community, so all people in Bend, all people in the US, all people in the world. This is where we can start making change. And also the environment. So those are all components of the considerations that need to be made, whether it's in a cost-benefit analysis or whether it's in your allegiance, each of you as a city councilor. And I would like to speak to leadership and meaningful action. I love the headlights analogy. I believe that this is our opportunity to choose who we want to be as a city and who we want to represent, and whether we want to represent. Thank you.
Thank you. David Paulsmeyer and John Kobiak.
Hello, thank you for this time. 9 years ago, my wife and I retired to Bend, and after years of careers in the public, private, and not-for-profit sector, we've had a lot of experience with issues like this, community-wide issues. But tonight, I particularly want to speak as a grandparent. We're keenly aware of the necessity of reducing our reliance on fossil fuels. Community-wide climate action plan is a necessary step for us to take, and we need to do it now. We owe that to our children, our grandchildren, and future generations. And for me in particular, climate action is an act of and for generational justice. Development has relied on non-renewable and polluting resources. Now is the time to change that destructive path toward generational justice. The community-wide plan is a necessary step to take. Understandably, objections, obstacles, and naysaying accompany this proposal. It's our job to address them with the science and experiential-based evidence. The authors of the climate change proposal have provided a lot of that. And what they are proposing is definitely doable. And what we do have here is opportunities for reducing energy, transportation, solid waste, and water costs. And they're obvious. They're obvious for individuals and groups in each and every sector of this community. The catalysts for these kinds of reduction require community-wide leadership. And I'm confident that you, as leaders of Bend, will support a healthier environment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And then Alice Kaiser.
Good evening, and thank you all for providing this opportunity for us to discuss this very important subject. Dear Bend City Councilors, we, the undersigned Bend businesses, support the Bend Climate Action Ordinance and urge your leadership in passing robust, comprehensive, science-based climate action goals to mitigate the effects of climate change. And this has been signed by Agricultural Connections, All Mixed Up, Angelina Organic Skincare, Andrew Spa, Arbor One Tree Service, Art Escapes, Astur Agency, Base Zero LLC, Belvie, Bend Community Healing, Bend Electric Bikes, Bend Sync Limited, Bend Velo Bike Shop, Bend Whole Health PC, Bendy Dog, Beth Lynn's Global Fusion, Bluebird Coffee, Broken Top Bottle Shop and Ale Cafe, Carlson Designs, Cascade Financial Strategies, Central Financial Services, Classical Window Coverings, Clean USA Power, Clearwater Native Plant Nursery LLC, COSAS Northwest, Crevero Consulting Company LLC, Crow's Feet Commons, David Saylor's Realtor, Deschutes Brewery, Douglas Jewelry Design, Dream Home Building and Design, E2 Solar, Elevation Capital Strategies, Emerson Realty LLC, Fields Farm, Fly and Field Outfitters, Foot Zone, Fringe, Furnish, Glow Acupuncture and Naturopathic Medicine, Go Bio Company, Great Harvest Bread, Green Cab, Green Savers USA, Hall of Fame Photo, Heirloom Images Photography, High Desert Physics and Animation, High Lakes Healthcare, Hola, Ida's Cupcakes, Gem Raw Organics, L. Thomas Clark PC, Lava Edge LLC, Let's Sustainability Consulting, Level 2, Life Story Moments, Living Desert Permaculture, Masters of Dentistry, Momentum, Natural Edge Furniture, Neil Kelly Company, Old Stone Performing Arts Center, Orchid Thai Restaurant, Pacific Crest Affordable Housing, Pay Fine Jewelry, Pedigo Bend, Pine Mountain Sports, Radical Roots, Sage Struck Herbary LLC, Salud Raw Foods, Sam Houston Appraisers, Sarabella Upcycled, Schechter Architecture LLC, Searings of Bend, Skidmore Speech and Language Services, Soul Purpose Massage, Story Lab, Strictly Organic Coffee Company, Sunlight Solar Energy Incorporated, Sunnyside Sports Incorporated, The Broomsman, The Greer Fix LLC, The Old Stone Performing Arts Center, The Workhouse, Tompkins Wealth Management, Tozer Design LLC, Tricycle Creative, Vitus Architecture LLC, Vocal Booth, Volcano Veggies, Wahoo Films, Wall Street Family Practice, Wanderlust Tours, Westside Pet House, Wildflowers of Oregon, Windflower Farm LLC. I'm Ann Brayfield, resident of Bend and partner in Emerson Realty LLC. I am here to ask you to pass a strong climate change ordinance, and I will leave the rest of my statement for the record. Thank you.
My name is Jeff McCory, and I actually am a, I'm well versed in green building, and I'm actually the owner of a new startup called Living Desert Permaculture. And I just want to make a few comments about, I guess, in regards to simple things that can be done in the city. I guess I'm kind of curious why some businesses think that it's going to put businesses out of business. I don't, you know, understand that whole line of thinking, but basically, I think the young woman over there mentioned she was from COBA, and she was talking about home efficiency standards and having a background in green building. No offense, but the efficiency standards of the homes being built now are about 15% above code if they're Earth Advantage, which with the current green building science, we can build them hundreds of percents above code. I mean, the buildings that are being built that are 50% above code are actually probably 400% less efficient than an actual true green building that's designed well. So there's a lot of improvement that can be made there. As far as how to incentivize that, that's something that could be discussed. But simple things like that are very inexpensive within building design is orienting for passive solar. I see 95% of the homes or more in Bend that are going up are not oriented for passive solar. I believe in Germany it's a law that they have to orient for passive solar. I mean, it's just common sense to me. Why would you build a home when you have free sunlight coming in from that billion degree ball of gas in the sky that's setting them free energy in your house? You can align your house properly with windows facing south. You can have passive solar overhang so that you don't get the summer overheat. The only place it costs more money is up front to do the design, and it's very, very minimal. So that's just one of the examples of what can be done. Meeting my time here quick. Let's see, so going back to the 5% too with the city, of course it's very important for the city to lead by example. I think they've been doing that. When I go over to Riverbend Park where the kayaks are up in that little art thing in the roundabout, you see that building, I think it's a LEED certified building, a city building. There's a lot of this going on, it's
no,
great.
That's not a city.
That's not a city.
Department building. Oh,
it is, okay. Make okay.
It clear, we're different, two different areas.
Okay, well they're doing a good job. So, I'm sure the city is as well. So anyway, obviously we need to get the community on board. One of the guys had mentioned about people, it's amazing what people can do without being forced to do so. I'm not seeing the action taken in the community on an individual basis without some incentive. So obviously to get the 95% on board, we need to get a lot more people out there considering their actions. And it can be things as simple as closing the doors and windows during heating season, putting in low flow fixtures. I mean, there's so many things that can be done that aren't being done. So I think a big part of it would be education. If we're not going to do an ordinance and we're just going to do a resolution, we need to educate the public and guide them as a city to show them, you know, show the leadership that this is where we need to go. That's it.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd just like to interject a comment. We're in a building where there's not a single window.
Well, that's what's supposed to be a police station.
Adaptive reuse. Right.
Jay Feinstein and then Archie Blyer.
I'm taking a completely different tack. I'm not really going to talk specifically about climate change. I moved into Los Angeles 60 years ago, and it was a great place to live. You could do almost everything you want. 55 years later, after trying to run a number of businesses, it turned into nothing but a morass of controls, environmental restrictions, and all sorts of regulations and restrictions. In fact, at that point, people and companies were trying to leave, and they would go to anywhere USA to get out of LA. I came to Bend 5 years ago. And this is an absolutely wonderful place. And what I hope I don't see here is Bend getting involved in all of the bureaucracy that I see developing in Los Angeles over that period of time. I think this is the type of thing that you really need to look at yourself and say, is this something you really want to get involved with in terms of this whole environmental politics? I think it's destructive. I think you can't possibly have any useful effect with respect to the globe in terms of what you're trying to do here. I think people individually should do what they want to do to make things better. I walk all the time. I leave my car in the garage most of the time. I have trees around the house. And these are things that people can do. If they want to go build a net zero house, great. If they want to use solar panels, that's wonderful. But I don't think the city council needs to get involved in trying to tell people what they should or should not do with respect to this. And that's really all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Archie Blyer.
Mayor Clinton Pro Tem, Mayor Russell, City Councilman and Woman, everyone here, and especially our young people standing at the door. Mayor Clinton, my name is Archie Blyer. I'm a pediatrician, oncologist, official title at Oregon Health and Science University, is clinical research professor. I've been a clinical scientist for 50 years this September, and I've owned a home here in Sun River for over 40 years. What you need is an excuse not to worry about the price. You've heard that multiple times tonight. Good health is our most precious resource. It's priceless. It's more important, infinitely more important than having smooth roads, less traffic, access to marijuana, and even as discussed today at the City Club of Central Oregon, helping our homeless, who are going to be more affected by climate change than anyone else. I heard an engineer describe that man-made pollution is not the reason for global warming, we'll call it that. Well, let me counter that. I'm an oncologist. Let me talk about a really bad cancer, malignant melanoma. I've been following that for 40 years. The incidence has increased more than threefold in the United States, and because we have a lot more melanoma here, because it's caused by sun and by loss of the ozone layer in our atmosphere, and because we're fair-skinned by and large, so we have far more melanoma than most of the rest of the state. I've been following that as of 2010 and found a different pattern. It's slowed down. It's actually stabilized, maybe even begun to decrease. Why?
Sunscreen.
In part, yes, definitely, and avoiding suntan saloons, okay? But more, as MIT has just shown, and I graduated from there, it's because we've been able to reduce the ozone hole over our atmosphere by more than 1.5 million square miles. Why? We've reduced the hydrocarbons, they're called chlorine hydrocarbons, in our atmosphere. We've done it as an international effort called Montreal Protocol. We got rid of those elements that are in our air conditioners and our refrigerators and aerosols. It's because we accomplished something, and you can do the same. Don't wait. Is that yellow? All right. 15 seconds. I could talk about all the health hazards of which there are multiple, affect every organ system in our body. Heat alone has killed 757 persons in Chicago during 1995. I'm going to let Councilman Nathan Boddy, Dr. Boddy, give you all the rest of the details.
Most kind.
Basin.
I don't think he needs your help, Nathan.
Corey Sparks here.
Good evening, councilors and concerned citizens. Thank you for the opportunity to speak for a few moments about the draft climate action resolution before you today. My name is Basim Khadam. I've lived in Bend for 16 years and raised a wonderful daughter, Kira Khadam, who's now 17 years old, a high school senior, who's scheduled, I think, to speak to you as well. She's been one of the principal coordinators of the UCAN activities in Bend, and has also actively participated in the creation of the draft climate action ordinance on which the current resolution is based. It's my feeling that Kira has demonstrated tremendous maturity and foresight in dedicating substantial time and energy to a critical public interest topic that has so often been marginalized. Instead of taking decisive action, public discourse has been stuck in the quagmire of debating with climate change deniers whose claims have repeatedly been shown to either be false or lack merit. The effect of this behavior at all levels of government has left us in a state where more urgent action is needed, more and not less. In the same way that my daughter Kira has demonstrated maturity and foresight in dedicating her time to this cause, I hope that the City Council will demonstrate a similar dedication to taking the urgent action that is needed. I applaud both past efforts of the city as well as the consideration being given to the current proposal. There are, however, a few things that disappoint me with recent developments. The language of the current draft has clearly been softened, as the term goes, from the original proposal. For example, the current draft avoids setting goals for the community as a whole and couches many of the decision points in language about cost-benefit analyses. While I am a taxpayer and I'm also sensitive to costs, talk of cost-benefit often has a way of not factoring in the significant environmental opportunity costs of a healthy planet and has been used as an excuse to avoid action. It is the role of public policy to assign the necessary environmental costs to inaction because those costs are otherwise not accounted for in our market economy often. So I very much encourage you to assign those costs in a way that is fair to the goals of having a healthy planet. As a parent, I'm very concerned about the state of the planet that we're leaving behind for our children and future generations. I sincerely hope that we can collectively show the resolve necessary to take the decisive action that is needed. I'd like to be able to say that we did not shirk our responsibility to those future generations. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Shiloh Grayson, and then Louise Palmer, if she's here. Before I begin, I'd just like to say, over the 20 youth that were here originally, a lot had to leave because they were hungry. But my name is Shiloh Grayson, and I'm 13 years old, and I know that you've heard a lot of opinions tonight, and a lot of them are probably starting to blur together, but I just wanted to say, along with all of the people standing behind me, that the decisions that you make here tonight will directly affect us for many years to come, but we don't get a say in what those decisions will be. And because of this, we really need all of you up here to represent us, because otherwise we just kind of fade into the background. In the end, we will be the ones who inherit this planet, and that means that we will either get to benefit from the decisions that you guys make today, or we get to clean up the mess that has been left to us. So we really don't want to have to do that, and we really hope that you guys can keep us in mind every time that, not just the city councilors, but everyone here can keep us in mind every time you forget to turn off the lights or keep the water running or decide to vote against this resolution. Because that will end up affecting us more than anybody else in the future. And I won't waste too much time, so thank you.
Thank you. Louise Palmer here. Mo Carrick.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members, for your service, and to the committee for your work
and for everybody who's spoken tonight. My name's Mo Carrick. I'm the principal and founder of Momentum, one of the names on the list. And I am really excited about this conversation. I'm also a little bit troubled by some of the things that some respected colleagues and even friends said. In particular, I want to correct and kind of go on record that it's not actually the business community at large two gentlemen spoke with in particular. I'm a member of and supporter of both EDCO and the Chamber. In fact, I was honored to receive the Chamber's Woman of the Year Award in 2016, which I felt very proud about. But it's not been my experience that the business community at large is not in support of responsible fossil fuel reduction. My company is a benefit corporation, which means that we are certified in and have proven our efficacy at honoring the triple bottom line, which people have spoken to tonight. Profit matters, absolutely. In fact, the nature of my business is to help companies be profitable so that they can thrive and accomplish what they need to with their products or their services. Part of how they do that is by being responsible to the people they serve and the planet. We call it managing externalities. And the managing of externalities means that we're responsible for the waste we produce. Climate change is serious, and we're in dire, urgent trouble. I just returned from Banff, Alberta, where I got to be part of the TED Summit, which is international convening of some of the leading thinkers in the world. I got to hear three scientists, preeminent scientists in their space, who are largely advocates for renewable resources, who basically almost held their head in shame and said that it's simply not happening fast enough. We're not doing it fast enough to reverse the effects of what we need to. In fact, they were so concerned that their strong recommendation is that we actively reinstigate and recertify nuclear power plants all over the globe, because renewables alone won't help, won't make this turn around. So to me, the alternative to nuclear, which I certainly wouldn't want to have here in Central Oregon, is individual activism and collective activism, that businesses and individual human beings rally around what it is that we can do. And there's an awful lot that we can do. My brother is a chief engineer on an oil tanker. He delivers that precious fuel from the ground, and he and I have had many conversations about how darn hard it is to extract fossil fuels. And what I feel and what I want to leave the council with is that the case that's been made about this being expensive for business cannot compare to the expenses that business will incur if we don't materially impact climate change. Fossil fuel is expensive. Businesses will benefit financially in the long term. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Alice Eltoff, and then Kyra Cuddum.
Thanks for the time that you have already put in on this. I'm Alice Eltoff. And I'm just me, but I've been hanging around Oregon ever since the days that we were seen as a leader in progressive legislation. I'm thinking about the bottle bill, our beach access, the LCDC laws. I remember sitting in a meeting for the bottle bill once, and the distributor from the Pepsi place said, "Well, if we add 5 cents to the bottle, people will quit drinking Pepsi." Well, you know that didn't happen. The sky didn't fall. We're still drinking Pepsi. I see a can right over there.
So,
but now we have a chance right here in Bend to show real leadership again by joining other towns in our state to pass an ordinance that would represent meaningful action to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Most of us here in this room have done whatever we can to lighten our footprint, our carbon footprint, but we know that individual actions just simply won't do enough in time. It's a systemic problem, it's got to have a systemic answer, and basically we just need your leadership, please. Climate change is going to affect us all, but not all equally. It's going to hit indigenous people first and poor communities the hardest. It's going to add to the divisiveness and the dislocation of people all over the globe. If you think it's bad now, just wait. This is our historical moment of moral and political decision making. So I'm asking you, please, to take bold action. We need a resolution with clear timetables. We need it to be for the city as our governing body and also for the whole community. So my any cost-benefit analyses have to include the social and environmental costs. They're every bit as important as the financials. My ask is just don't be afraid to be bold. We can't just fiddle around the edges of this problem any longer. So get this done, and we'll have your back. Thank you.
Thank you. Kyra, and then John Marvin, I think.
Hello, thank you for your time. My name is Kyra. I am a co-founder of Bend Youth Climate Action Now and part of the Climate Ordinance Working Group. And I'm here to tell you what I and many of my peers who are here and those who aren't believe. I believe in our right to a healthy atmosphere and a stable climate. I believe in clean air and biodiversity. I believe in halting sea level rise, and yes, I believe in saving the polar bears. These are very aspirational goals, but Bend is a very inspiring community. Tourists flock from around the world to see our snowy mountains and our rich forests. And it's time to show those tourists what we're made of. A municipal government has the responsibility to uphold the values of its people. And we stand before you today, voicing our opposition to climate change and all of its damaging effects. And we ask you to represent us, to work with us, and to protect us. Thank you.
Thank you.
John Marvin, and then Paula Kinzer.
Mr. Mayor, council people, is that the right word? my first time here. My name is John Marvin, and I'm a small business owner. I run a game store, or game manufacturing company. We sell worldwide. I hire artists and editors and videographers in Bend, and my company is here because I am here, and I am here because I ski. So you've heard a lot of wonderful arguments that I'm not going to repeat. I just want to tell a little story. When I first moved here, I joined the Meisner Nordic Club. I love skiing of all kinds, including Nordic skiing. And I don't know if anybody here remembers the food cart at Meisner. Remember that guy that would sell you a taco or a latte? Well, this year, he's not here. And why isn't he here? This year, skiing was good, but those other 2 years put him out of business. There wasn't enough snow to even ski at the Nordic Club. We bought a giant machine to groom the trails, and it sat in a shed in the rain for 2 winters. That man who ran the food cart, he's out of business. There's a business, and it's dead because it got too warm. So I just want to share that little story, and I don't want anybody else to suffer the same fate. Thank you.
Thank you. Paula, then Rondo.
Thank you, council members, for holding this hearing and for considering something that's extremely important. As Mo said, dire. I think that's the strongest word I've heard today that fits the situation. I've lived in Bend since 1991, and I've lived in a passive solar and active solar home since 1995. When you live in a solar home, and you also do environmental advocacy work, you pay attention to the weather. And as this gentleman so properly illustrated, it's changing, clearly. Warmer summers, warmer, wetter winters. And it is affecting our economy in a huge way, as well as our recreation, as many people have alluded to.
So as a result, I concur with 97% of scientists and over 70% of the population that agree that it is critical that we take action on climate change. Not tomorrow, yesterday, but at the very best today. It's time to stop making excuses for why we can't do anything about it. Claims that climate change is too costly do not hold weight. There is far too much evidence that taking action and looking at cities like Lancaster and other cities around the country that have actually rebuilt their economies by taking serious action for climate change, boosting renewables, and energy efficiency. There's so many simple things we can do, as alluded to by this gentleman. I live in a passive solar home. I use heat in Bend during the night, maybe from mid-November to early February. Then I'm pretty much done with it. I don't use AC in the summer, and my house is pretty comfortable. Sometimes it's sweater time, sometimes it's a time for a nice tea. But we work it. But there's so many simple things we can do. One of the things so prevalent in my mind right now is vehicle idling. Now, I don't think we should go put a law against it because that's just too hard to monitor. But for goodness sakes, do we really need to sit with our air conditioners running or our heaters running? We're going to be far more uncomfortable with with climate change if we continue to just pollute our planet and make it worse by needing those small little comforts. So we can promote a Bend being an idle-free zone. Just try going to a school in the morning or at pickup time. It is repulsive to see all those fossil fuel emissions. So that's my high horse. So the average vehicle idles for 16 minutes a day. Stopping that would save between 714 pounds of CO2 annually. Now you multiply that by as many cars as we have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rondo, then Mike McCandless. 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 You're surprised how bad the handwriting is.
No, I wouldn't. Excuse.
Sorry. Rondo.
Hi, I'm Rondo. I've been here for 25 years plus. I'm really impressed by the people that have showed up today and the kids and the willingness for this community to have this conversation. I'm just wondering if we're really going to have this conversation. We're talking about meaningful climate policy. And if we're really going to do that, then we have to have goals. Whether we're going to have the wills of the shells, whether we're going to call this resolution or an ordinance, I don't believe anybody in this room has ever really done anything in their lives without first setting a goal. We cannot be accountable unless we count.
Michael and then Mark Nichols.
Thank you for having me. My name is Michael McClandris. I'm a board member of the Environmental Center, and I represent Mike Riley, who was not able to be here tonight. He's out of town on a vacation. But it's also easy for me to be here as an individual because I'm a member of the environmental community and I love this town that I call home. So I want to thank you for the awesome approach you're taking and the collaborative approach you're taking in bringing this to action. And I think it's a very powerful community conversation that should continue, and it will take time. There's really three things that our organization would like us to modify in the resolution and to strengthen its meaning. The first is, which you've heard many, many times this evening, is the goal for the community as a whole to reduce fossil fuels by 40% by 2030 and by 70% by 2050, and not just the city, but the community as a whole. That's very important. Clear timelines are very important, to make firm deadlines. 2 years for the city operations and 3 years for the community. And to adopt a cost-benefit analysis that looks at not just financial impact, but the social and environmental impacts as well. This, as we know, completes a very meaningful study for sustainability issues. In addition, the Environmental Center goes on record saying that we will help in identifying and securing funding to help facilitate the greenhouse emission inventory and action plan. So we want to partner with the city fully in this process. I think it's important to ask the question, if not now, when, and if not here, then where? Bend, Oregon is a leader in our community. Bend, Oregon's a leader in the West, if not the entire U.S. People want to be here. I think we need to continue to put Bend on the map, along with other communities that we also look up to and compare ourselves to in so many ways, and that includes Eugene and Boulder, Fort Collins, Portland, and Corvallis. And I think in my life and in my work that it's always best to be a leader and not a follower. And I appreciate the fact that you guys are really looking at this hard and put us on the list as being part of the leadership in this important action. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks. Mark?
My name is Mark Nicholas, longtime fan, first-time speaker, so thank you all for listening. I want to applaud you guys because this, seriously, I just got out of school a little bit ago, and it sounds like you're being lectured to for 4 hours. So I applaud you so much for keeping your eyes open. It's more than I could have ever done, even when I was just in school. So I had a speech written out, and I was like, you know what, this just isn't me. This isn't the passion that I want to portray, and so can I just have some speaking notes, just maybe a way to bring us back down, not throw the science at you. People say that there are doubters. I just want to point out the fact that there are doubters, that the world is not round. I mean, there are people that believe, there's people that believe the world is flat and on the back of a giant turtle. And I don't see us asking, why, how are we going to feed the turtle? That's not what we're doing. So, that being said, I just want to point out that this is not a battle between environmentalists and business. We're all environmentalists. If we all go outside and you love where you're at and you can breathe the fresh air and enjoy the Deschutes, enjoy the mountains, you're an environmentalist, right? So we don't need to segregate each other into different groups. I don't speak on behalf of one major group or anything like that. I think that both of them failed to basically portray this in a way that's not negative, right? So we're always talking about the scary facts, businesses going under, you know, earth heating up and whatnot, and I think we need to look at it as an opportunity and not as a fear here. I mean, there's so much fear in the city about what to do, and, you know, we have a light at the end of the tunnel, and we can either see a train coming towards us, or we can see the sun at the end, and I want to see the sun at the end. I just want to point out that, you know, gals and guys, have all come here because you want to serve the community. You want to serve your peers, the business community, your kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, relatives you enjoy seeing at family reunions, everybody. And I dare you to look into their eyes and say, hey, we had a chance to do something really important and we just kind of let it go by. And without this community part of this plan, I mean, it's almost not worth doing. I mean, it is, of course, but we have to do something, we have to do something now. Somebody once said, we have just the perfect amount of time to do something about climate change if we start right now. I just want to thank you guys for doing what you're doing. I don't think you get the applause you deserve. And I'm just so glad that we're talking about this, and I'm so glad that we live in a city that embraces this discussion. And I would love for you guys to basically to stand by your decree, which is to basically provide the right public services for the Bend way of life. And the Bend way of life is only going to be solved if we address this and put it back in the community element of the Bend resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. That completes the people who have signed up Is there anybody else among us who has gone so long here that would like to share a thought with us real quickly?
Sure.
Yeah, I think Andy was real quick.
She was, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
This, I think, maybe was one of our hungry teenagers who went home.
I'm here. Hi, thank you for being here, counselors. My name is Annie. The people behind me are a group of young people who are passionate about the environment we live in. And I grew up here in Bend, which, as we know, is home to beautiful natural resources and a thriving economy that we're all proud of, and community, and it's great. And like anyone who lives here, I want to see it protected, and that means taking a stand and allowing the Climate Action Ordinance to develop a framework that will reduce greenhouse gas emissions and set us on the right track for our posterity. This ordinance is so important because it will help to reverse the detrimental effects we've already seen from excessive greenhouse gas emissions. Like most of the West Coast, we've experienced drought. I spent the last 9 months in LA, believe me, it's bad. it affects our wildlife, as well as us. And the threat of wildfires affects our infrastructure and our city's income as much as it does our natural landscape. And it's time for us to do something that equals the magnitude of the climate change that we've already seen the effects of. Bend is at the front of a movement that will change where we're headed for the better, not just at the local level, but maybe even globally. And we need you guys, our leaders, to realize the importance of conserving our home and to take action. So please consider supporting this climate resolution because it's a comprehensive way to make things better before they get any worse. Thank you.
Thank you. So my recommendation is that we adjourn. And
you're the mayor.
just a recommendation.
I don't want to be arguing with the mayor.